WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. New jobs numbers out this morning. 336,000 people added to the payrolls last month. The unemployment rate unchanged at 3.8%. A new controversy involving former President Trump. An Australian billionaire and member of Trump's Mar-a-Lago club, Anthony Pratt, telling special counsel Jack Smith that Trump told him secret information about America's nuclear submarines back in 2021. Meanwhile, a new Speaker of the House not yet decided, but could it be Trump?
Donald Trump is throwing his support into this race, endorsing Jim Jordan for Speaker, saying that the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee and founder of the far-right Freedom Caucus has his total and complete endorsement. But Donald Trump now says he would be willing to step into the role temporarily if the party is unable to coalesce around a candidate.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Lawmakers say Trump as Speaker is highly unlikely. This is ABC News. The Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded to an Iranian human rights activist, Narghis Mohammadi, recognized for her fight against the oppression of women in Iran. She's currently in prison, sentenced to 31 years and 154 lashes. The latest jobs numbers come out as new data arrives about women in the workplace. They're still outnumbered by men in leadership positions. Details from ABC's Andrea Fujii.
We are making progress at the top, but it's slow.
Lorena Yee is co-author of a new Women in the Workplace report. The study found for every 100 men promoted from entry level to manager, there were only 87 women and 73 women of color.
We see fewer and fewer women at every stage. Part of it is that we've been losing them from the very first step.
Men also outnumber women at the manager level. Researchers found men were more apt to be judged on their potential, whereas women were more apt to be judged on their track record.
Liz Landers, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
The search on the Fox River for a 21-year-old Green Bay man has been suspended by the Coast Guard. The search for Victor Torres Guadalupe started about 2 a.m. on Wednesday, but authorities decided they didn't have enough evidence showing he had entered the water. They are asking for the public's help in finding him. He is 5'10", about 155 pounds, has black hair and brown eyes. Anyone with helpful information should call the Green Bay Police Department.
The man who created the G logo on Packer helmets has died. John Gordon designed the iconic G while he was an art student at St. Norbert College in the early 60s. He was asked to design a logo that resembled a football by a St. Norbert equipment manager. He passed away Saturday at the age of 83 after struggling with Alzheimer's. Tonight's Powerball jackpot is $1.2 billion. That's the third largest ever, and it'll go up slightly after I buy my ticket later. Good luck. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go right to the phones. And Cindy from Appleton, thank you very much for hanging on. You say what?
Well, I say that the border wall is just throwing good money after bad, because like Sandy said, it doesn't work. It's an environmental disaster. It's just another indication of a very broken immigration system, along with our broken medical system, our broken prison industrial complex, our broken military system, our broken education system, and our two-party system. Everything is broken. And I think it's time that we, the people, start voting some of these bums out so maybe we can get some changes made.
Well, so you know, your thoughts about Donald Trump being the answer.
Oh, my God, he is not the answer. He is a lunatic. And I don't understand why people who say they're patriots support the most unpatriotic human being I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Hey, Cindy, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, yeah, Cindy. In fact, what you talk about, all the things that are broken and need dealing with, I think relate to what we need to get back into politics is common sense. We just need to start exercising common sense to analyze where we are, what we need and what we need to do, and then how we need to do it, and stop worrying about consensus, stop worrying about partisanship. We need to just exercise our common sense. And when you start thinking about things just in terms of common sense, you can break away from party thought, and you can just get into regular human thinking, you know, the kind of common sense that tells you that, yes, there's a problem, so we need to fix it. Common sense tells us that the healthcare system in America is broken. So common sense telling us that should drive us in the direction of having people coming forth with solutions. And all the other things that you describe as broken are common sense conclusions that people should reach if they just open their mind to thinking in a commonsensical kind of a way instead of from a partisan standpoint or from a bogus patriotic standpoint. You know, if you love it or leave it kind of a concept doesn't solve a problem, it just ignores it.
You know, Sandy, she hit the nail on the head for all those things that are broken, and these are every one of them, even individually, is a serious issue,
right?
And she put them all together, and she's 100% correct. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Thank you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Interesting show as usual. I'd like to make a comment on this poll. You know, that scares the hell out of me. And I cannot understand. You had a caller there at the beginning. Charlie Chipmunk from Stoughton there. He says he has a lot of, the chipmunk says, a lot of respect for General Miley. Well, General Miley is telling you, telling the public, do not vote for this lunatic. Anyone that quotes from Mein Kampf passages is a lunatic. Look what Adolf Hitler did. He ruled Germany for 9 years. By the time he was done, Germany was in complete rubble. This is what you're going to get if you have Trump as a president. This man is insane. Anyone, Sandy talked about common sense. Is it common sense when he's being interviewed and he says, oh, I can declassify a secret document just by thinking about it. Maybe we should drop a nuclear bomb in the eye of a hurricane to stop hurricanes. The cure COVID. Maybe a little Lysol and bleach. Does that sound like someone that is, to me, that sounds like the other caller said a lunatic. This is what you're going to have. And see Charlie Chipmunk or whatever this guy's name is right to have respect for General Miley. He knows what he's talking about. He saw Trump up close. For God's sakes, if you want to save our country, it only took 9 years. Give Trump another 4 more years, and America will be rubble. That's my comment.
Hey Don, thank you very much for the call, Sandy.
Well, I just think if we could get back to policies, if our caller from Appleton is right, Sandy, that what we ought to be looking at are the things in America that need to be improved, whether people are willing to agree that they're all the way to the point of being broken or not. I happen to agree that most of the things she described as broken are broken. But what we ought to be doing is talking about policies and how we want to fix those policies and forcing our candidates to talk about these policies and these problems and how it is that they're going to solve them. And what we have now, particularly from the right, but basically in politics generally, is arm-waving, symbolic speech, talking about things that are not directly related to these problems. You know, of the things she listed there, I think everyone would come up dry if they could describe the policies that are being proposed, particularly by Donald Trump, to solve any of them.
You know, Sandy, here's talking about policies. Medicare Advantage overbills taxpayers by $140 billion a year, enough to wipe out Medicare premiums. Now, as a guy who's on Medicare, and many of those in this listening audience, the fact that people are being overbilled that much, a policy can fix that, right?
Sure. I mean, what's wrong with the current process, particularly those who are attacking government, is they're attacking government and trying to make government less competent by stripping it of money, stripping it of its reputation, stripping it of being a place where people will want to go work, able-bodied people will want to go work. So we end up with a government that is becoming increasingly less competent, not because government is inherently incompetent, but because people are affirmatively doing the things necessary to remove its capacity for competence. And, you know, even FEMA has come up short. And we've got people who think it's good policy to cut across the board 8%. And strip government even more of its capacity to do the things that need to be done. One of the things that government needs to do is audit its programs, right? Mm-hmm. So we had the PPP program that was implemented during the Trump administration, find out that there were hundreds of billions of dollars of graft and corruption in that program. Well, a competent government, one that's adequately funded, would have inspectors general and auditors who would be policing those programs carefully so that we wouldn't implement programs and then begin to act like Ukraine or Russia in the way they get implemented by having them filled with corruption and ripoffs.
So, Sandy, people are anti-government, and the only way, and in some instances, rightly so, but the only way to fix it is to get involved in government, right?
Yes.
So to say that I don't want to hear it, I'm pulling away from the government, it's certainly not going to get fixed that way.
No, like I said, I think I've talked about this, and over the years, there's a Six Sigma program that developed constant improvement in corporate America. And you'd think we would simply start applying those processes to America's government, right? And we would constantly try to make America's government better. Six Sigma is premised on finding out what's wrong with what we're doing. How do we compare? Are we best in class in what we're doing? Or are there countries or businesses doing it better than we're doing it? If so, how are they doing it? And how can we change? And how can we improve? That's Six Sigma. Why are we not applying Six Sigma to America's primary institution, its government, and making America's government better so that it serves the American people in a way that causes them to respect their government? And what we have now is an assault on government. It's as if we implemented Six Sigma, and the result of the Six Sigma report is we need to destroy all of the front office and all of the managerial processes, and we just need to run this country each man for himself.
You know, and so, Sandy, it's and part of the reason that we're at this point in time is what you talked about long ago, two parties. And so we get caught up in the party. That's not fixing what's going on. The issues are bigger than individual parties.
Well, because parties can thrive on pointing out the mistakes that the other party makes. So if all you look at is mistakes and problems and you don't look at solutions and how to avoid mistakes, you know, that's what corporations do. They try to identify mistakes and cure them, and they try to find problems and solve them, okay? And we do, and our party system does just the opposite. We try to find mistakes and exalt them, and we try to avoid talking about problems so we don't have to solve them.
You know, Sandy, I sometimes think that part of our nation is not engaged, not involved, doesn't really care much about government, because some are fortunate and blessed to live, you know, good lives. And so they're not worried about some of these things. It doesn't impact them.
Right. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's the way the people who are currently living good lives,
which
basically
is over 50% of the population.
Yeah. About 50% of the population in this country is living good lives. And from their standpoint, if it's good, it ain't broke, don't fix it. And even those people, however, can identify things that are broke, because most of those people, many of them, other than maybe 10% of the families in America, 90% of the families in America are experiencing problems with health care and understand that the health care system is broken.
All right, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Come on.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 58. Westerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely. Tonight lows level off around 40. Cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow daytime highs approaching 54. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Dry with temperatures well below average Sunday and Monday and highs in the low 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 49.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday is with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, Ukraine is still on the docket. And no matter how much we want to, you know, not talk about it, no matter how much people want to get away from it, Sandy, it's still there, and it right now is in a place where Russia is relishing what's happening right now with the United States and Congress, and the fact that there are Republicans who are clearly stating, you know, they wouldn't mind if we stop sending this money to Ukraine. And I didn't realize that there were as many Republicans who were opposed to this. There even appear to be more now than they were in the beginning. Why? What happened?
Well, I think it didn't take a genius. It only took watchful thinking to notice that the United States was embarking in their policies in Ukraine without a broad debate, without a developed internal consensus, without necessarily a clear evaluation of what was in the real strategic interest of the United States. It takes all of those things for the United States to be ultimately willing to, one, keep writing checks for a long period of time that are rather enormous, and two, putting itself into increasing positions of potential military risk, okay? And so the fact that we didn't do that up front, again, it's this real politic thing. We've got swept up in the neocon way of thinking. The United States is the power in the world, and it unilaterally can call the shots, and it unilaterally will make decisions about essentially what ought to go on in other countries, okay? And it was that kind of thinking that brought us to get so involved in Ukraine beginning in about 2012, and then at the time of the Maidan revolution in Ukraine in 2014, getting very involved in what was the overthrow of the elected government at that point by a mob, and ever since then, so we sort of backed into this cactus. And when you back into a cactus politically, you can expect ultimately for people to start asking questions. They would have asked them up front. If they were solved up front, we'd have unanimity. It's a little bit like failing to elect a Speaker of the House because you can't get unanimity. We need it. We need in our foreign policies to understand them up front so we can really believe them and really be behind them. Right now, what we've got is a terrible situation because, you know, we basically gave Ukraine the notion that they could hold their back up and stand down the Russians in a negotiation and refuse to essentially agree to being essentially in the Russian hegemony and to rather be in the European hegemony. And we told them that they could count on us. But we didn't tell them that based on any analysis done by the body politic in the United States.
Or how long they could count on us.
Right.
You know, you can go back to the fact that we spent 20 years in Afghanistan and Iraq or whatever it was, 18, 19, whatever it was, and at war, and the American people soon grew tired of that. The news, the media grew tired of that. And we were able to spend 20 years or more there. And even when it finally came to an end, it came to an end with a whimper. But this thing that we're involved in now.
But when you back into a cactus, even like Afghanistan, we spent something like $1 trillion. You know, so that's not just short, small change. And we lost a bunch of people. And we left it worse than we found it because we went in on this neocon theory that we could install a government that the people of Afghanistan had no capacity to actually operate. Afghanistan's a country of warlords. We were going to have to change its culture as much as we were going to have to change its government in order to achieve the outcome we were talking about. But again, it's getting into something without an end game, getting into something without the analysis needed to understand what the end game is. And the failure of America to think about end games is going to cost us dearly. It has cost us dearly. It's cost us dearly in foreign policy, but it's costing us dearly in domestic policy. And our unwillingness to talk about end games causes us to embrace personalities rather than policies, ergo Donald Trump.
Let me ask you, Sandy, how much of this do you think is the fact that Americans are so preoccupied with all these other things in everyday life that we don't see the big picture? We don't see all these other things that impact and affect our lives directly because we can't focus. And maybe you talked about the news media. We'll talk about that after we come back from break, because the average person isn't thinking about any of those things.
Yeah, we need to rely on a news media that informs us, and we need to rely on leadership, people who lead us by telling us things, you know, in terms of leading. Leading is not figuring out where the mob wants to go and then running ahead of it. Leading is helping the mob go where it needs to go, okay? And what we have now is leadership that just tries to sense where the mob wants to go.
All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. So
can I give you in return?
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The Labor Department is out with new employment numbers. 336,000 jobs were added in September, far more than the 170,000 analysts had expected. Former President Donald Trump has named himself as a contender for Speaker of the House while endorsing Republican Jim Jordan of Ohio.
Trump also says he plans to be here on the Hill to meet with Republicans next week. We have seen a handful of his most ardent supporters trying to get him to take on this role, even though Donald Trump, according to Republicans' own rules, isn't actually allowed to be Speaker because he is facing multiple felony indictments and possible prison time. That is obviously something that Republicans, though, are willing to look past. They have been looking past his legal woes so far. Over a third of House Republicans are already supporting him for president, so they could just ignore their own rule or try and change it.
That's ABC's Mary Bruce. 75,000 Kaiser Permanente workers from California to Washington, D.C. are on strike for a third day. They're demanding better pay and staffing. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us. For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. Students and staff at UW Oshkosh held a walkout to protest layoffs. The university is struggling to make up an $18 million debt. In August, university officials announced they would cut around 200 jobs to help close the gap. Protesters say they are worried about the quality of education due to the cuts, saying they want more state funding for their school and are petitioning for cuts to administrative salaries as opposed to faculty and student worker salaries. Complaints about rats are on the rise in Green Bay. At last night's city council meeting, the public was encouraged to keep reporting rat sightings so city officials can continue to manage the problem. Green Bay has received 129 rat complaints so far this year. The average number of complaints has been about 100 over the last few years. Most of the complaints have come from the city's west side near Lambeau Field. Pete Schwabe for the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 News.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines. And our David from San Francisco. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Hey, morning, Earl and Sandy. Yeah, I'm wondering if you all are familiar with the old World War One currency speculators?
Give me a little more information. What's the bottom line of your question?
Well, I think that the way that the Republicans are scamming the government shutdown is right in line with what an old currency speculator would do. And in World War One, there were people that were intriguing with the editors of famous newspapers, like the, you know, the equivalents of the Wall Street Journal of Germany, France, Italy, you know, pick a country. And they would intentionally help devalue a currency or revalue another currency.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, since they were like famous merchants, let's say, that had all of these different currencies, if they could bounce one nation's currency and then bounce it down, bounce it up, bounce it down, they would make a fortune when they did, you know, buying commodities, you know, just cashing in on the bounce, right? So shutting off government in America would help destabilize, it would ruin our credit rating, right?
Well,
and wouldn't ruin it, but it would surely destabilize it, right? Cause a shift.
Well, the chaos that we have in Washington is definitely having an impact on two things. One, the credit rating of the United States, which remains at the very highest level internationally, but it is depreciating. And two, the dollar. And I would say that the bigger risk is putting put more volatility into the value of the dollar, you make it decreasingly less attractive as the world currency. And so, really, what the people are doing are playing into the hands of those who would want to depose the United States as the world currency and to replace it with something else. And we keep implementing policies, our tariff policy, the sanction policies. We keep doing things which put more and more risk on the dollar as being maintained as the world currency. And we're finding now more and more countries who are reacting by talking about exchange, making international transactions in something other than the dollar.
Arabians have been begging for that for the last 6 months. And so I've been calling up these talk shows and wondering if the Republicans have been sucked in by the Saudis who want to destabilize the U.S. dollar. And it cracks me up because what do the Saudis want to trade in? Like Putin's fake rubles? Do they want to buy in India? They're trying to get back to a world of untouchables. In China, they're fake communists. So what's the stability that they're going to grab a hold of? You know, is Brazil with, you know, Modi and whatnot? I mean, you've got all of these tyrants of the world, and what are the tyrants? You know, there's no honor in thieves, right? So the value of a currency, if it's based upon some honest stability, you know, like the hypothetical is the United States is still a democracy. We're fighting it to the razor thin right now, but it's still holding. And with this conversation, you know, it convinces people, you know, that we want to make sure that the U.S. dollar is stable so that the people of the world have something to hang on to rather than Saudi, Russian, fake value.
Well,
Modi, I mean,
yeah. Well,
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
David, you make a very good point that the value to Americans of having the dollar be the reserve currency in the world is very, very high. And doing things that put that at risk are very bad policies. And so, you know, we need to be much more careful than we're currently being. And I, quite frankly, I think the American policies have become quite reckless. The way we run our country internally, our politics, our paralysis, and quite frankly, some of our foreign policies have created greater and greater risks. There's higher incentive for people to jump to other currency processes other than the world dollar reserve.
All right, thank you very much for the call, David. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Yeah, good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Sandy, I agree with you on the four indices of rent and mortgage and child care and health care and taxes. However, I have just grown more and more completely the opposite of you, because you try you seem to try to make the both sidesism problem, which we already see in our corporate media. And what I mean by that is there is one party that does believe in government. There is one party that wants to govern. The other party has said they want to destroy government. The other party, if they were working for a corporation and said how much they hate their actual employer, would have been fired a long time ago. I don't have to tell you which party is which, but there is definitely a difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party in terms of what they believe in government. In fact, Paul Weyrich, who is the founder of ALEC, said, we don't want good government. In fact, we believe that people that believe, we don't want the majority of the people to vote, he said. He said, actually, when the voting populace goes down, basically the Republicans do better. So please, let's not keep going with this false equivalency and talking like these are two of the same or sane parties, because they're not. One party is totally bought off by corporate America because of Citizens United. There's another party that part of them are bought off, but yet the majority of the people, especially in the Progressive Caucus, there's over 120 people that are not bought off, and we need to support them as we the people. And I just get a little tired of that. Also, I've changed my mind in terms of the whole Ukraine thing, because I've heard a lot of other experts in this area. And the thing is, I am not someone that is in favor of war, as Earl has known for a very long time. But you know what? If we don't do something about Putin, who I do believe is another Hitler now, I'm not believing in this craziness that he's just another normal leader, but I do believe he's another Putin. He is exterminating the Ukrainian people, and he will go on to other countries, and we will end up with a World War III if we don't stop them in Ukraine, because he will continue to go on to the next country, the next country, the next country, if we just sit back and watch these people get slaughtered.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I don't know. I try to talk to just the people at large and try not to put people into a defensive posture where they are unwilling to listen. So, do I think the Republican Party today is bankrupt? Yes. I think I've said that in every different way. But do I think all Republicans are bankrupt? No. We've got 50% of the country who apparently is potentially voting that direction. And we can't write them off, so we have to figure out how to reach out and talk to them. And we have to figure out the policies and the problems we have and bring them into the process of solving them and get them to open their eyes and exercise common sense.
Sandy, do you think the American people as a whole are engaged in what goes on in Washington, D.C.? Or do you think that the majority of the American people are clearly more involved in their day-to-day struggles in trying to, make ends meet? And so they don't have the luxury to worry about those other things. And then there's the whole entertainment sector that is around where people don't need to sit around and watch the 5 o'clock national news like my parents always did and like I did and as a young man coming up. And so, and then the evening news that used to always point out what was going on. Today, none of those things, it's about Taylor Swift and the other guy, and
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce, or it's about the Kardashians, or it's about the Masked Singer, or it's about the Bachelorette.
We're easily distracted by things that are intriguing rather than interesting, and I think intrigue has always been something that the human being is fascinated with. I think one of the problems we've got is that our country breaks down into segments. We've got 50% of the people living paycheck to paycheck, struggling to make ends meet, who are really without the kind of capacity to spend a great deal of intellectual effort on analyzing the political scene and trying to figure out what the problem is and how to fix it. Their problem is personal, and it's making ends meet, okay? And then we've got probably 20% of the country that's very comfortable. And if it ain't broken, don't fix it. So you end up with now you've got 30% of the country left. And that 30%, many of them are otherwise engaged. You know, you'd have to attract all of their attention, and you still only have 30% of the people. So, you know, I think that our economy and our society is such that we just have a lot of people coming at this from different angles, and many people not coming at it at all in terms of politics. And as a result, politics has turned into symbolism. We have words progressive, and people are progressive, and they're good. We have words conservative, people are conservative, and they're good, you know, depending on what your ideology is going into it. But we don't paint a lot of purpose into those words. I would agree with Tom that I think the progressives and the left have done far more in framing themselves as being wrapped around particular policies they want to implement, but they have trouble attracting the attention of America because of a news media that no longer functions, and because of the fact that people are so distracted in the ways I described that it's very hard to draw them in.
You know, Sandy, there is, after all, only one government. And so that government has to represent all of these different factions that you just talked about. And so the people who are the most engaged in what's happening with the government, sometimes that's who people are going to cater to, because those people are voting. Those people keep those who are elected in office.
Uh-huh.
And people who aren't voting are people who aren't, you know, and can't be engaged with those things. People want to escape, Sandy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's complex. You always say life is more complex than it ever was. And, I mean, after all, you got 17,000 channels on the television. That doesn't do a whole lot. Out of the 17,000 channels on the television, you know, maybe 600 of them may have news.
Well, and news is unfunded, right? So, yeah. I mean, the people rolling up their sleeves and actually doing anything other than reading press releases from various sources is very rare. So our news media and the people who are funded tend to be funded from a biased standpoint. So we've got Fox News funded, right? We have MSNBC funded. So we've got this problem of the funding going in the direction of promoting what seems to be a biased analysis of what's going on. You know, I'm thinking about what Tom said called in and talked about the fact that I'm giving too much credit to the other side.
So hold on. No. Hold that thought, because we got to go to a break. We're right now, I got to go to a break. Sandy, hold the thought. We'll give it a chance to do it on the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Just walk away, Renee. You won't see me follow you back home. Sidewalks on my block are not the same. You're not to blame.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. Wisk Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training, plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WiskCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this this day. A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin, still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 58. Westerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight. Lows level off around 40. Cloudy skies. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 54. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Dry with temperatures well below average Sunday and Monday, and highs in the low 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 50.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Hey.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love. But confess, you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they're
doing. Nancy Sinatra.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
She didn't inherit her father's voice.
No. Welcome back. She was kind of nice on the eyes. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. Sandy Williams is still here. And Sandy, you wanted to say before we...
Well, I was just, you know, Time was saying that he was beginning to disagree with my positions because I was giving too much credence to the Republican Party and sort of a dualism, giving credence to them as being a legitimate... as the Democrats. And I don't think I'm prone to give either side any greater sway. I think, as I said, I think the Republican Party has been bankrupt of policy. But I think the notion that I think we can't be too strident, and I worry that, Tom, I don't want you to fall into the pit of stridency that is driving our country to the point where we can't have conversation, where we get polarity. Because we try to read between the lines about what someone's ideology is based on how they talk or what they talk about. I think what we have to do is talk about policies, talk about facts, talk about principles, and that's the level at which we have discourse with one another.
All right, CJ, go ahead.
Hey, thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call again. You spoke of what you watch. I tape all three C-SPAN channels 24/7. I pick and choose. It's hard to find the programming, but you want to see what party cares about the American people? Watch the C-SPAN committee meetings and some of the drama that goes back and forth. And I think people, if they gave it an honest watch, they would find out which one want to keep issues for campaign issues rather than solving problems. And Fox News has been number one for 25 plus years because they have both sides of issues on.
No, they don't. I watch Fox News. And when you tell me that they have both sides of the issues on, hey, come on, man. I watch it.
Special report. And he has any issue. He has
special reports. Is
and they debate.
Hey, CJ, special reports is one show. It's one show on Fox News that's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I agree with you, Earl. Our talking heads and their personalities, just like Rachel Maddow and Don Lemon.
So CJ.
And Kumo. They're talking heads. Journalism is very rare today. And if you watch Brett Baer and Special Report.
Hey, CJ, I've watched Brett Baer. Brett Baer, I like watching Brett Baer, okay? So I give them that. But the majority of the rest of that is ridiculous.
Well, just like if I watch MSNBC, okay. I find that.
Thank you very much for the call. Hey, Bill, how you doing, man? You say what?
I watch Brett Baer, too. And Brett Baer is reasonable, I think, in his presentation most times. But when was the last time Brett Baer interviewed somebody who had a solution to all the problems we have? I don't think I've heard that. Yet, I can watch MSNBC. They can bring Republicans on there. And they can come up with a solution. I just don't see that. And if you doubt me, CJ, call Dan O'Donnell today, or Vicki McClennan, or what's his name, Mark Belling. They say this is talk radio. I've 2 weeks to get on to Dan O'Donnell's show. He knows me too well. He doesn't like what I do because I challenge his intelligence. But yet when I call Earl's show, I get on right away. Why is that, CJ? Why is that? You've got to analyze who is coming up with the solution and who's coming up with the problem. Boy, if I want to know about the border, I turn on Fox. Because they are, and Hunter Biden, it's all I'm going to hear. But yet they don't tell you that all these people crossing the border are processed. And once they're processed, they are no longer illegal. We've got more illegal people with charges hanging over than I think we've got crossing the border. But yet you want this division, and you say, well, Fox is number one. Of course they're number one. They sell fear at wholesale prices. People are attracted to fear. Oh, did you hear what Biden's going to do? Oh, they're coming for our schools. They're coming for our guns. They're coming for this. They're coming for that. They're destroying education. They're altering children sexually. Oh, it's horrible. Well, of course, people. That's why the National Enquirer was famous, CJ. You have to use intellect to try and figure out how to solve the problem, not be part of it.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much for those words. National Enquirer.
Is that still around? Yeah, tabloids. You know, the tabloids were those newspapers that had a big photo on the first page, and they had ridiculous headlines
right next to the checkout counter.
Right next to the checkout counter at the grocery store. And actually, Rupert Murdoch was involved with tabloids early on as well. So I mean, it makes sense. Tabloids sell, just like Bill said, and they sold by. It was like World Wrestling Federation News, just like Donald Trump is World Wrestling Federation Politics, and it turns out the WWE or WWF, whatever its initials are, sells, and it does sell big. However, it's not real. It's not real.
You know,
when they break the chair over the guy's head, it's not a real chair. And all of what is going on is designed to attract us, but it's not necessarily designed to create an intellectually true conversation.
You know, you say it's not real, yet they pack them in. The people know it's not real.
Right.
But in their minds, even though they know it's not real, they act as if it is real.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what's happened to America. We are living in the WWE.
I love the analogy,
though. Yeah, because we know it. We know this is all unreal in its own way, but we're all taking sides. We're all lining up for the crusher. You know, I'm cheering for the crusher, and you're cheering for...
Vern Gagne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to go. Thank you, Sandy, for a great week as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. We got to get out of here, make way for... Jane Metnier, you tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. I love that.
Start walking.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft.
We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW.